Good morning. If you would stand just for a moment, we're going to say hi to one another, except for John. He's taking care of some precious, the precious heart there. Grab a friend, give a hug. How you doing, baby? Good, brother. Good, real good. How are you?
Good.
God like you, in
heaven or below. O Lord God of Israel, there's no God like you, in heaven above. You keep your covenant of love, your covenant of love.
God of Israel, there's no God like you. Be seated, please. Lord, we just want to tell you today that there is no God like you. There is no one like you. In heaven above or earth below, you are the mighty God, Lord. And I want to thank you for my brother Ralph this morning and the songs you put on his heart to lead us in, and all the great hearts here this morning, Lord, that just want to see you and want to know you and want to share themselves with you more. And God, I pray today that you've moved us closer as we've sung songs that are so true about you. You're so good to us, God. And this morning, as we look into your word, I pray that you would just move us even closer. Give us the heart, Lord, that you desire for us to have. Move us, Lord, away from ourselves and just closer to you. We know very well, we've all experienced, thanks to your grace and your mercy and your kindness, we've all experienced those moments when we're not living for ourselves for a bit, but we're just doing what you would have us to do. And God, those are life. And I just pray that you would move us there more today. I know that that's going to take moving me out of the way, and I'm okay with that, God. You're the good one, and you're the powerful one, and I just pray that you would do that. And it's in your Son's name we pray. Amen. There's some things I've heard men talk about, greater teachers than me, that I love dearly. They've said things like, when they talk about a story from Scripture, that this may be a story that keeps you awake at night. One of my dear teachers, instructors, would always say, he would go through parables and he would say, these are the ones that really haunt me. It keeps me awake at night. I've read Shane Claiborne say things like, what if God or Jesus really meant what he said in the Word? And so this morning, as we look at Luke chapter 10, I want you just to wrestle with the question in yourself. What if Jesus really means what he says in this parable or in this story. Some call it a parable. Others wrestle with that. Some think it's a true story, that it really did happen. So here's the deal again. We're going to ask ourselves, what if Jesus really meant what he said in this story? That gets a bit uncomfortable at times, I'll tell you. It'll get more uncomfortable when you leave here if you really wrestle with it. Because Jesus won't leave us alone with ourselves if we start asking these questions. If you would put it up, Jacob, thank you. On one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. Teacher, he asked, and remember, he's trying to test him. Teacher, he asked, what must I do to inherit eternal life? What is written in the law, he replied. How do you read it? He answered, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind. And love your neighbor as yourself. This lawyer, this expert in the law, this isn't a surprise scripture to him. I used to read this like, wow, Jesus really put him in his place. This guy knew the law. He just didn't live it. He was kind of a church guy, if you know what I mean. He knew what to do. He just didn't do it. And so he says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. That's our version of it. And love your neighbor as yourself. And Jesus says, you have answered correctly. Do this and you will live. But the man wanted to justify himself, so he asked Jesus, who is my neighbor? It's not enough here to go where he's gone. What must I do to inherit life? Well, how do you read it? What's it say? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, strength. Love your neighbors yourself. Very good. Do this and you will live. He felt the prick. He felt Jesus say, there's a problem here, but it wasn't enough for him to go, okay, I'm going to duck out of here now. He needs to get the whole lesson. And so when he says, who is my neighbor? Jesus, in the Greek, this isn't really saying, Jesus is going, oh, I'll tell you a story to help you out. Jesus is saying, you want to play like that? We'll play like that. That's what the Greek's really saying here. You want to go there? We'll go there. And that's the place we don't want to be with Jesus. We want to listen. We want to take the lesson well. We want to hear what he says and move along with it. So here's the story Jesus tells him. In reply, Jesus said, a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he was attacked by robbers. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. So too a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he traveled, came where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he put the man on his own donkey, brought him to the inn, and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper. Look after him, he said, and when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense you may have. Which of these 3 do you think was the neighbor to the man who fell among fell into the hands of the robbers? The expert in the law replied again, which of these 3 do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of the robbers? The expert in the law replied, the one who had mercy on him. And Jesus told him, go and do likewise. Go and do likewise. Do the same thing. If you've ever heard this story before, raise your hand. Please raise your. Some of you have never heard this. You've really been in church all your life and never. I'm kidding. Sorry. That was kind of cheap. We've heard this before, haven't we? This is a no-brainer. We know how this works out, right? We know how this works. We know the proper conviction we're supposed to feel. I'm supposed to go and help my neighbor. Awesome. And we can go now. Well, there's a little bit of problem with all of this because we know the story. How do you read it? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And the second one, love your neighbors yourself. Go and do likewise. But listen, I've been busy, and I've got a pretty hard life, and we want to justify ourselves like the lawyer, right? And so Jesus has to take it a step farther with him and with us as well. Here's the deal. Here's the cool stuff about the story. You know how the Jewish culture or the lifestyle there was? The priest would have been the main guy in Jewish culture. The Levite would have been just right behind him, right? And then somewhere down the road, you would have the Jewish the typical Jewish person. Then you would have the Samaritans, then you would have the Gentiles. I mean, it just goes down the story. And so Jesus is telling the story, and he says, there's a man who was traveling, and he intended for them to see that this was probably a Jew. He doesn't call it out, but he knows they would see it like that. There's a man who was traveling from Jerusalem to Jericho, or he was traveling along the road to Jericho. And this is the deal that you have to see here, is this stretch of country is really bad. So these guys are getting the story really well. Lots of cliffs and places for bad guys to hide, and often did attack people, rob people. So it wasn't something that they'd never seen before or heard of. And so Jesus is telling this story. The man was attacked. He was brutally beaten, left half dead. They took everything he had. And then along comes a priest. Yeah, a priest. He's a good guy. He does the things he's supposed to do for God. And so a priest comes by, and he sees the man, and he passes by on the other side. And some people could justify this, and Jesus knows this. Well, you know, if I touch a dead man or a dead body, I'm going to be unclean. I won't be able to take care of my priestly duties. I have other obligations. And so they could kind of dismiss themselves as not having done something right. But Jesus tells a story. The priest passes by on the other side for whatever reason. And then along comes a Levite. And he does the same thing. I mean, these are the best of the best. These are the good guys. These are the ones, I mean, if something's up, these are the guys you want to call, because they're pretty tight with God. And so the Levite comes by, and surely it's going to help the man. No, it doesn't help the man. Instead, he passes by on the other side. And probably the same thing. I mean, he doesn't want to be unclean. I mean, if he helps someone and they're dying or if they're dead, then he can't take care of his duties. And because they're important. I mean, what the priest is doing is important, right? I mean, he's got to offer sacrifices, and he's got to be tight with God. And so he's got to go through these rituals and do these things that he's supposed to do, the stuff, you know, that you know, this is a man, a person. And so that's not really that big a deal, because that's, I mean, we're talking about God, right? I mean, you get where I'm going, right? I mean, that's a big deal. I'm going to church, and I can't stop and help her with that flat tire. I mean, I got to get to church because I know that they're calling and they're desperate and they need someone to visit, but I got to get to. And then a Samaritan. And now if this would have been just another Jew, a Jewish citizen, it would have been convicting, but it probably wouldn't have been a shot in the gut like this was. Right? I mean, if it's just a good Jew coming by to help out another Jew, but no, Jesus has to go to the Samaritans. He drops all the way down the chain, and he says, and then a Samaritan came along. And man, the story, the compassion, I mean, listen to the words he says. He saw the man, and neither of those guys really saw the man, right? He saw the man, and then he moved toward him. Is that not compassion? He saw him, and he moved toward him. He's there's something going on here, right? And I'm not, I can't stay back. I can't pass by on the other side anymore, right, Michael? I mean, what's up? I mean, you're here today. That's good to see you. I can't pass by on the other side anymore. He's not a passerbyer. There's compassion in his heart, because that's who Jesus was. I got a surprise for you here. Did you know that this story, Jesus could tell this story because, I mean, he's the ultimate good Samaritan, right? I mean, he's not a Samaritan, don't get me wrong. Probably worse in their eyes, if the truth can be told. But Jesus was in heaven, and he could have called this another way. He could have passed by on the other side, but he wouldn't dare do it. He came to us, right? He bandaged our wounds when we'd been pummeled and pillaged. Man, that's some tough peas to say there. By Satan and this life and this war, and he bandages us up, and he puts us on his... He really did. He put us in his place, didn't he? And he swapped his righteousness for our sin. He could tell this story, couldn't he? I mean, he lived this story. So he could tell this story well. And so in the story, the Samaritan, he couldn't pass by, because he has this thing that Jesus had in him. It's called compassion. He walks to him, he notices him, he walks to him, he gives them something, you know,
that no one else had given him. Love, care. He bandages his wounds. He pours on oil and wine. Tough terrain. Mountainous, hot. He puts the man on his own donkey, and he walks along and takes the man to an inn where he cares for him through the night. And then he gets up in the morning and he pays this guy money and says, "This is for any trouble you have, and if it costs more than this, I will be back through and I'll pay you the extra. Don't call his family. Don't call the insurance company. Don't call the church. I'll take care of it. I'll pay you what." I wonder where this guy was going. Because whatever he was doing, he completely was disrupted. He had to stay an extra night. He had to stop. Had to do. It was totally inconvenient for this guy to do what he did. It's so much like Jesus. I mean, the heart of this man is so much like the heart of God. It's amazing. The only problem with this story that I can see, and this is a huge problem, and I don't really know I guess it's supposed to be in here. I mean, this guy's totally bothered, totally inconvenienced, pays for everything out of his own pocket. And then the story says, Jesus says, who was the neighbor? And the man says, the one who had mercy. And here's the problem with the story. And you're going to find the problem here too. And then Jesus says, go and do, what's the word? What's up with that? That messes up the whole story. Right? I mean, it messes up the whole story. Because I'm really good with this story till now. Because I can get behind a good story. It inspires me. It motivates me. This story sometimes can choke you up if you really get into the story. The only problem is, it tells me I got to do the same thing. What is up with that? Nothing really the way things typically go. Because like the priest or the Levite, we could totally justify. Like the lawyer wanting to justify himself, I'm pretty busy and I do some things that are really good, and God understands my culture and he knows I got a family and he knows it's hard to make a living, to eke it out in the United States of America. I mean, it's only the richest country that ever existed. It's tough being me, and the Lord understands it. And Jesus says, you want to play that way? The problem with the story is he says, go and do likewise. But it isn't a problem if you don't ask questions like Shane Claiborne. If you don't say, what if Jesus really meant what he said? If you don't wrestle with, this one keeps me awake at night. It won't let me sleep because I have to start asking questions. Who are my neighbors? And the safe United States, the safe Western mindset that says my neighbor lives in my neighborhood and he's right beside me on either side, the right or the left. I mow his lawn once in a while. He mows my lawn once in a while. I say, God is good, and I've told him about Jesus. It doesn't work like that. The deal with this story is I got a feeling God is a lot like my dad growing up. I got this sneaky suspicion that when I wrestle with this story, I'm also wrestling with my dad. And here's the problem with this. I had a few brothers, four older brothers, which I don't think Jesus was in any of them growing up. Maybe later, I'm not sure. Four older brothers and a sister who was younger. I truly was the most miserable kid in the world. One sister, and she's younger. That's like the oldest. She's like the oldest child in the family. Everything goes her way. And four older brothers who would rather... never mind. You can fill in the rest of the story. Here's the problem. Kids fight all the time. But I knew this one thing always. My dad never had to tell me this. If I wanted to honor my dad, if I wanted to bring life to him, if I wanted to bless him, if I wanted to be a son that he was pleased with, someone tell me what was the one thing that I could do. One thing. Someone say it out. Pardon me? Obey. Get along. Same story. Get along with my brothers and my sister. No matter how stupid or crazy or messed up their story was, no matter how ugly they were being or how rude they were being or how mean they were being, I don't fight back. I look out for, I try to help, I try to encourage. When they got a problem, I look out for them, right? I mean, the one thing I knew for sure, my dad didn't go for this fighting stuff. He didn't go for this making fun of, putting down, not helping out. If there was homework to be done and I knew what could, how I could help, he expected me to help with it, right? That is the story in family. Ask Jason Carell, Eric Miller, John Carell. Ask any of these guys, Ira, Jeff, Tom, what do you expect from your kids? You get along and you work this stuff out. You help one another. This sermon is not going to be super long unless I go on a tangent here somewhere, so hang with me. And I'm really maybe going to turn. So here's my problem, another problem with this story. I got another suspicion. When I think about the Good Samaritan, my mind can't help but go away from the church because I don't believe that's what this story is about. I don't believe, I mean, yes, there's some of us here. There's always people struggling in the family we're supposed to help out with. But I think this story is way bigger than this. I think it's way bigger than this. And I'm thinking about where Scott Gamp is right now in Haiti, serving people in Haiti. People who have been traveling down the road and were attacked by bandits and robbers and thieves. In Honduras and Russia, I'm thinking about those guys. I'm thinking about Kenya, Africa, where Donche, who comes to church with us a lot here, says, Jamie, my minister told me he could use some help if we could ever go. Except I talk way better than he does in English. But the story is that there are people who have been abused and beaten and destroyed and we've got a donkey, and we've got money, and we know how to get them to an inn, and we certainly have time to take care of them, don't we? But they're not. The hard part is they're not only in these places. Ask any of these school teachers about the kids and the families they work with. Ask any of the people who are out in the community working with the services that are offered to help out the poor, the homeless, the lost, the needy. They're not only in other countries. They're all around us, those who have been destroyed by life along the way, who've been beaten and robbed. And yes, there's some of us right here too. Here's a tough question for me. I remember a few times growing up, the bus would come, and we had a long driveway, and it seemed like, you know, you get like two or three kids that got to run to a bus, and someone's, if you're not waiting, you know, you've run out of the house like crazy, and it'd be one, two, honk, honk, and here comes my sister, or here come, maybe I'm last, and you forget your lunch money, you know, and she'd get on the bus, or I'd get on the bus, and doo, 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 hey, by the way, you took off, and Dad didn't give you lunch money, here it is, here's your lunch money. She didn't keep it for herself, I didn't keep it for myself, I gave it away. I took my lunch money and I gave it, I took her lunch money, I gave it to her. I didn't go spend it on myself. What if you've got somebody's lunch money? What if you have somebody's lunch money? What if God gave to you because He wasn't able to give to them. And He expected you, trusted you, to get their lunch money to them so they could eat, so they could pay for food or clothes or medicine or something. And instead, you just kept it for yourself and hid it away. I would have got pounded when I got home if my dad found out I kept my sister's lunch money and she didn't get to eat. If you won't go and see, at least give the lunch money to someone who'll take it and help out. But here's the deal. All around you, you see this man. All around you, you see this man, this guy beaten up in a ditch. He has a sign that says, "We'll work for food," right? I know we can say the lawyer, yeah, but listen, and wanting to justify ourselves, We ignore the guy as we go by. But what if he uses it for cigarettes? What if he buys drugs? What if he and Jesus are going, whoa, 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 we're not playing that way because you're not spending it all that well either, are you, Jamie? We got a nice set of golf clubs. We've been there before. She's sitting in the office or sitting in the waiting room at the doctor's office. And she's crying like mad, crying and crying and crying and crying. And what would a pat on the shoulder and I'm praying for you, what would it do for a soul like that? She's beaten up and she's in a ditch. Or they're at work where you go every day, this miserable job that you hate. Yeah, it pays the bills, and yes, it puts clothes on my, but I hate it. And it's a mission field. It's an incredible mission field. Man, he's struggling. That's why he's so mean to you. She's hurting. That's why she's always gossiping. Why they're always bitter, why they're always mad. It starts in the beginning. And Jesus says, go and do likewise. Go and do something for them. Help them. But it's not just here. We can't just limit it here because we've got the ability to go where people are really hurting. You know the story in Christ Church, tell me the country. New Zealand. Yes, yeah, sorry. Lost it just like that. The story, they interview a lady at a church today. She was in church, but they had to have church outside. And they go up and stick a camera in her face or a microphone in her face and say, how are you dealing with this? And she says, I just want to know where God is in all of this. And I'm thinking, you're in church, and you don't know. And you know why she doesn't know? Because there are people like us who aren't sharing and telling and being. Because that's the story of how God shares who he is, what he's doing in the world today. When the guy's laying in the ditch, he doesn't get up and say, I wonder where God was in all this. Because after the priest and the Levite passed by, God finally got someone's attention. And they went and helped. Where was God in all this? He was in a Samaritan. Who would have believed it? We hate them and they hate us. And Kendall tells the story always when we start reading the Good Samaritan. And we get to this part when it says, and then a Samaritan saw him and he went and helped. She says, and Daddy, that man hated him. He didn't help his buddy. He didn't help his friend. He helped a man who would rather see his throat cut than to help him if he was in the ditch. But he helped him anyway. And when we take on the hands and feet of Jesus, the heart of Jesus, and we become the Good Samaritan, if you will, people stop asking questions, where's God in all of this? Because he shows up in us, doesn't he? He shows up and he gives hope and help and life through it all. I love the story, and I hate the story, because it bothers me to my core always. But here's what I want to leave you with. Jesus did for you exactly what he's calling you to do. And he did for me exactly what he's calling me to do. He came from heaven and here, and he did exactly what he asks us to do. He gave his life for everyone else. He could have kept the riches of heaven and basked in them. And heaven is way greater than the American dream that we're hanging on to. And he says, what are you holding on to? A dream? Great retirement? This great massive house that you're going to build one day? The great car? It's going to be gone. But these souls, man, they're starving. They're starving. And I gave to you so that you could get it to them. I didn't give it to you to keep for yourself. Let's pray. Father, I love you and we love you. And this story, Lord, is exactly what you knew it would be. It's a bother. What else we say? It's a problem, Lord. I pray that you would be patient with us and you would wrestle us. You'd wrestle me, God. That you would move us closer to you. Because, Lord, we know that the greatest gift that was ever given was you in the flesh, in that manger, so that you could be on the cross rescuing us. And the great image that you share of this Good Samaritan is just another part of your heart, Lord, that you show through him as he ministers to the hurting. But Father, we know there are people in our world that are hurting today, and they're everywhere around us. And Father, it's so inconvenient. And we got plans for our money. We got plans for our life and our future and our kids and everything. And this story messes some of that up if we let it. And I pray, God, that you help us to let it. You're really good to us, and we love you. Help us to be more like you. It's in your Son's name we pray. Amen. If you want to respond to the invitation, there's going to be an elder on either side. They would love to immerse you into Jesus. You'll be new in him, God's child. If you're wrestling with this sermon today, the thoughts along these lines, or anything else, these guys are wonderful men. They'll hear you. They'll share with you their lives, walk with you as you walk through this time. They will not leave you alone. For sure, they'll pray for you. So whatever you desire, why don't you come as we stand in